Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Let us read it together. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Access. Access is a very important word. It's an important concept for each of our lives. I'm sure that you enjoy having access to your computer when you go and you put in your password and your code and you're able to access the files that you need, perhaps important emails. Likewise, your phones. Many of us use passcodes for our phones for security reasons. So we enjoy having access to our phones, our contacts, when we want to text somebody or call somebody or shop online, whatever. We might also enjoy access to certain people in our lives whom we have gained access through relationships with perhaps others. We have access to perhaps our favorite department store. If you signed up for a card, maybe we have access to special discounts, right? Especially when holidays come around and when we get emails, hey, because you're a loyal member of such and such a store, you have access to this discount. So we can go on and on and on about this idea of access. Access is important. Access is essentially our ability to come into direct contact with something or someone or a service. Now, the access that I want to share with us for just a few moments is the most important access that you could ever dream of. It's access to God's direct, very presence. As we read in our passage this morning, here the text is saying that we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. And we also read how God invites you and I to come into this space that was restricted, as Miss Rachel was just pointing out to us. It was restricted to only the high priest, and this person could only go there once a year. Now the text is saying that you and I, as Christians, we have confidence to freely enter into this sacred space. Now the book of Hebrews, my friends, is essentially one of the main purposes of the book is to contrast and compare how what we have in the New Testament is so much better than what the saints of the Old Testament had. That's, of course, the book from where we just read. And our passage is making reference to the Old Testament system of worship. And this system of worship, the tabernacle was the place where God came and met with his people. It was a place where God's very presence manifested in a pillar of fire by night, in a cloud, in the cloud by day. This system of worship, again, entrance to the most holy place was restricted. Not everyone had access to this place, to this area of the tabernacle. Only the high priest and him only once a year. It was very significant when our scripture says that you and I have confidence to enter that very place, that most holy place. I'd like to show you an illustration of what the tabernacle looked like for the sake of helping us grasp visually. So let me look here to my left. As you are looking at the structure, you see essentially a structure that is built in the beginning when God gave Moses instructions to build this tabernacle. They were journeying on the desert, basically in the wilderness, on the way to the promised land. And God gave Moses instructions to build this tabernacle. And it was to be the place where God came and met with them. He manifested his presence in that place. Now, as you will notice, there are several articles there, which we will discuss over the next several weeks. We will discuss the implication and what they mean to us as Christians, how they point us back to Christ and what he has done for us, and how this tabernacle provides a certain level of a pattern for us to worship today. But I want you to notice something there. The most holy place that the scripture talked about is that area that is separated by that curtain. You see that curtain there, purple? And then behind, all the way in the back, you see what's called the Ark of the Covenant. You see the two cherubim right there. That is the very place where God's presence would come and dwell, and he would meet with his people. Now, this is the place that was restricted to only the high priest, and he could only go there once a year, my friends. Now, this is the Old Testament. So here we have the curtain or the veil, which Miss Rachel talked about as well. So we have a lot of significant things in the tabernacle there. And eventually, when the temple was built, Solomon's temple, then this tabernacle was moved from the wilderness, from a structure like that, into a building. But the system of worship, the actual ceremonies and the liturgies and all of those things remain pretty much the same. So you and I, my friends, have access to this most holy place now in the New Testament. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil that we saw, that curtain, which separated God's very presence from the people, was torn from top to bottom. When Jesus died on the cross, the earth shook. As you remember the story, even many dead people rose and they were walking around. And this is one of the things that happened, that that veil, the temple, torn from top to bottom, signifying that now God's presence, God's very presence, was not restricted. Now God's presence could be accessed by those who believed in Jesus. So we see in our passage at least two very key things for us, and especially as we begin this new year, perhaps you have purpose in your heart to grow closer to the Lord. I think that's I can't think of no better resolution or goal than to draw closer to him, to press in more into the things of God. I know I'm not where I need to be. I'm growing on a journey just as you are. And I believe this passage here that we've read gives us two important truths that are greatly encouraging for each of us, that are very powerful and encouraging as we seek to draw closer to the Lord in this 2022. Number one, Jesus opened access. He gave us access. He opened the way for you and I to come close to God, to come straight into the presence of God. Now that's quite a thought. That which had been restricted to only one person once a year is now open 24/7 for you and I to go right in. You know, you don't have to call a priest. You don't have to call anybody. You don't have to, you know, it's certainly great when we can pray with each other. But, you know, you can go right into God's presence all by yourself because you do have a priest. His name is Jesus. The Bible says that he lives to make intercession for us. Right now, Jesus is at God's right hand interceding or praying on your behalf, praying for me. That's what the Bible says. So the high priest that they had, the first one of which was Aaron, of course, Moses' brother, now we have no human only priest. We have God himself, the Son of God. Jesus is our high priest, and he's making a way. He's interceding for us, and he has made a way for you and I to go right into the presence of God. I don't know if it's ever happened to you. Perhaps you go to a production, you go to a show, or you go to Christian concert or something, and you bought your tickets, you went to the event, and then you get home, you're getting ready to shower or change or whatever, you're throwing your trash away, and you look at the tickets, you realize, man, I had VIP access. I didn't know that I could go back there and talk to the performers. I didn't know that what I paid had given me VIP access to go back and meet some of the people. Had I known, I would have really enjoyed to, you know, doing that. And I wonder if sometimes something similar happens to us. We go through life and we don't realize that the salvation ticket that we have also includes complete access to God the Father. Oh, we might see the ticket just as salvation from eternal condemnation, and that is great. That is a priority. Make no mistake about it. But when God saves us, when Jesus saves us out of something, He also saves us into something. He brought us out of the dominion of Satan and into this kingdom of light in which we have this relationship. We have this access to God. Now, when I'm talking about access, my friends, please, again, I want you to see the picture. In the tabernacle, in which we will develop over the next few weeks, the different articles and what they mean for us today, only the high priest could enter there, only, and he could only there go there once a year. This was where God's Shekinah glory, this is where God's presence would come down and manifest and be visible. You and I can access God. We don't go to a tabernacle, we don't go to a temple like Solomon's temple, but we go to the throne of God. In Hebrews 4:16, the Bible invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace, to God's very presence. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life that I have forgotten that I had access to God. I mean, we might be going through something, facing a challenge, facing a difficult situation, just like the disciples did. You remember when Jesus told them to let us go to the other side, and as they were going to the other side, an incredible storm arose. And they're frantic. They're in panic. All the while, Jesus is sleeping there. Could they have momentarily forgotten that Jesus was right there? And I wonder if you and I sometimes, we might face the storms of life. And we are so easy, and I'm speaking for myself, perhaps I'm the only one. We might get so baffled with the waves and the storms and the things that we are dealing with that we forget that, man, I have access. I have access to the hand that can move the world. Oh, he may not come when I call him immediately. He may not deliver me out of the storm, but he will deliver me in the storm if need be, because he's faithful. And he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. We have access, unlimited, direct contact, connection, reach with God Almighty. Maybe you've seen people perhaps worshiping God, and man, they wave their hands, or they're kneeling, or they seem to be so intent. They seem to be so immersed in the experience that you might hear somebody praying or talking to God, and you think to yourself, man, they're talking to God as if he was right there. It seems so real to them. I want that. I want what they have. That's happened to me when I was a newer Christian. I would see people praying. I'm like, man, they're talking to God like they know him. That's what I want. But you know what? That is accessible and available to each of us. When we realize that by faith, you and I come to God's throne. We don't come to this tabernacle, physical place. You know, the temple that you and I come to is in our hearts. Because the Bible says that you and I, we are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when we pray, it's not like we're trying to reach for God out here or over there in the back of that wall. He's not there. We go to God in our hearts. We enter into the temple of our hearts, into that tabernacle of our hearts, into that sacred space that we have in us. And there in our hearts, by faith, We pray. We see Him by faith. We listen by faith. Our passage says that we have confidence to enter the most holy place. We don't have to be timid or afraid. We can go right in. One of the best prayers that you pray sometimes is, please help me. That's what makes it so complicated. It doesn't need to be. God knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we are dealing with, what we are going through. And He invites us to come right in. No reservations. We don't have to, you know, pray in any particular way, use any kind of vocabulary that's not natural to us, because He already knows. He already knows us completely. So when we pray, when you and I go into the presence of God, my friends, by faith, we see God with the eye of faith, with the eye of our hearts. Just like that song, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. I want to see you. That's what we do. We go into this place in our hearts and we fellowship. We have communion with God there. A Christian monk once wrote, to pray is to descend with the mind into the heart and there to stand before the face of the Lord, ever present, all seeing within you. So God is not out here in some atmosphere, somewhere out there waiting for us to reach Him. Perhaps if I pray loud enough, He will catch wind of my prayer. No, He can hear the whisper. He can hear the words in our hearts. There's nothing like you and I being conscious of entering to God's presence, my friends. When you go into that place, when you go into the throne of God by faith, you know what I have actually done, and I have done this many times at home or at work, I have put a chair right there. I'm not saying that you have to do this or that the Bible says that you should do this, but it helps me. I put a chair, and I imagine that that's God's throne, and I kneel before it. So if you walk by my office one day at church and you see a chair, a random chair, that's probably what I'm doing. And I just imagine, because it helps me to involve my whole person into the experience, into praying. There's something about kneeling that has helped me. I'm not saying that that's the only way that you can pray or that the Bible commands that you need to kneel and pray. No, no way. But there are postures that we take sometimes that I believe help us to fully enter in and fully be aware of the fact that we are talking with God. Have you noticed how we close our eyes and we bow our heads, right? We do that out of reverence, out of respect for God, because we are approaching a holy God. And by faith, we are coming to Him. We are entering into His presence and we are praying or worshiping. Not only did Jesus give us access to enter into God's very presence, but our passage says that God invites you and I to come close to God. Now, it would be one thing if He said, okay, I torn the veil, now you can go in whenever you want, that's fine. But then He invites us to come. The Bible says that God is a zealous God, is a jealous God. He wants you, He wants me, He wants our affections, He wants our attention, He knows us already, but He wants us to get to know Him more and more and more, not only on a mental ascent basis, not only on an intellectual level, but He wants us to have that experience with Him. As we look through the Bible, through the Old and New Testament, we see that the people that God used, they all had an experience with God. It was not just hearsay, or they didn't have just things that they had heard about. Moses had a burning bush. Adam had God come down and make a covenant with him. Gideon had he put out a fleece and God would get the dew on the grass and so on. And we can go on and on and on about how each of them had an experience with God that marked their lives. And I believe that God wants to mark each of our lives through times of direct access, direct encounters, direct experiences with Him. Now, when we have that, when things get shaky around us, when all hell is breaking loose in the world, we know that we have a God who cares for us. We know that we are safe in His arms. We know that He will not allow anything to come to us that He will not help us with. But we have to have that. And I believe that's what He's calling us to do, to come close to Him. The text says in verse 22, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, with the full assurance that faith brings. There are different ways that you and I draw closer to God. Some practical ways. One of them is visualizing what the Bible says, or meditating on the Bible, on what the Bible actually says. You know, when you and I meditate on Scripture, when you go, for example, to Revelation 4 or John 1, and you read about God, how John the apostle described the throne of God, how he's describing his vision. He said, you know, he saw God there full of light and glory, and he went on to describe God in terms of precious stones, because that's the best terminology that he could come up with. Or you go to Isaiah and you read about how the prophet said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Or you go over to Ezekiel and you see how he described God, how he saw this chariot and how it was moving around and all this glory. And you begin to get a picture of how God showed himself to these people, and that begins to develop a sight, a vision, a picture of God in your own heart. And then you go praying and you're seeing by faith what the Bible actually says, God's revelation to us. So imagining or meditating upon the Word of God is one way that you and I draw close to Him, because then our minds and our hearts are full of God's Word. We begin to take on God's thoughts, and fear and anxiety begin to be replaced with hope and faith. Setting time aside to pray, or quiet time, of course, is another way that we draw close to Him. In practicing God's presence as we go about our day, it's another way that we can draw close to Him. You can go right into the throne of God. We're not limited. John 4 says that God is a spirit, so He's not limited. We can go to Him anytime, anywhere that you are. You can even do it while you're driving, as long as you keep your eyes open. You can be praying. You can be having a conversation. I had a friend that once told me, you know, man, I was driving to work and people kept looking at me like I was crazy, because I was just having the best time praying. You know, I had my hands raised and just praying and worshiping God with some music, and they didn't know what I was doing. They thought I was talking to myself. But you could do that. Who said you couldn't? This 2022, I want to get as close to God as I possibly can. And I'm sure you want to do the same. Through Jesus, not only do we have access to God, we are invited to come close to Him. Over the next several weeks, Pastor Jackie and I, of course, we will be developing this series titled Pathway to His Presence, in which we'll discuss some of the articles of the tabernacle, the picture that we saw. We will be sharing how each of those things is very significant for us, and how each of them point us back to Jesus, and how they relate to our worship of God. You and I don't come to a physical holy of holies like the high priest did back then. You and I come to God's very throne in our hearts. In our hearts. And I realize that we live in a very physical world, of course. And sometimes it might be a little challenging for us to relate to some concepts that are sometimes not what we can touch or see or smell. But the more we practice God's presence by faith, the more we take what the Bible says and simply wrap our hearts around it, simply receive it by faith. You know, the Bible says I can come to God's throne, then it must be true. Then I'm going to do that. And then you begin to practice what the Bible says. You begin to act like the Bible is true because it is. And then we begin to see our feelings change to be more in accordance with what we read in the Bible. God is always trying to bring our experience, I believe, to what His Word says. As we draw close to God, we find fulfillment to the hunger in our hearts to know Him intimately. You know, in some sectors of the church, attendance is declining, but that does not mean that spiritual hunger is declining in the world. I mean, now more than ever, people are turning to all kinds of religious fasts and spiritual practices that are not related to the Bible, to our faith. And they're turning to all types of forms of spiritual things because they're hungry. They have not come in contact with this idea. They have not realized that through Jesus, they can have access to the real thing. So they're going to get the palms read or to do whatever other thing they are trying to do because they're trying to find spiritual power, spiritual substance, spiritual reality. And my friends, we have it right here in the Word of God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the goods. He invites us to come in. We have this access to God. And He invites us to come close. And as we do, we find peace in His presence. We find direction in His presence. We find encouragement. It is in that sweet hour or sweet half an hour or sweet 15 minutes of prayer that we turn our worries into prayers and that we live encouraged, that we find strength to keep going and the grace to keep going on this journey. I can think of no better way to start the new year than receiving this invitation to draw close to Him, than realizing that indeed we have access to God. We have access to it. I mean, this is incredible that you can have complete direct access, face to face, by faith, with Almighty God. And right there, as you are talking to Him, you can pour out your heart before Him, whatever you may have, whatever you might be dealing with. He's there to listen, to help, to strengthen. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. Remember how He said that? And our bearing fruit in this life is directly connected to how connected we live with Him. So God invites us to come close, really close. We have access. And I hope that we will take advantage of this access that we have through Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we come before You and we thank You that through Jesus we have access to Your very presence, O God. Let that truth remain in us as we go, as we embark upon this new year. Lord, I ask for the grace for each of us to draw closer to You. Help us to see You more clearly, O Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, to draw near and near and to walk with our Jesus closer and closer. Thank You, Lord. We worship You and thank You for all that You have done for us. We don't take this access for granted, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.